And joining me in the studio is Jennifer Ritter-Guidry. I'm just sort of smiling, Jennifer, because as a musical lead-in to what we're going to be talking about, it just not quite.
It's a little more refined. Yeah.
You're here to talk about a workshop and presentation that you all will be doing tomorrow evening. It's a part of the Backyard series sponsored by the Center for Cultural and Ecotourism and the Center for Louisiana Studies called Cigar Box Fiddles and Washtub Basses, a homemade instrument workshop. And I always love the French titles that you all put together for those. It's really lovely and just kind of makes a connection to the culture. But I'm not going to, I don't think I'm going to try this one.
No. Oh, it's pretty long.
It is a long one. So cigar box fiddles, how prevalent was that?
Well, it was fairly prevalent. I mean, that's how a lot of youngsters started off as musicians was, you know, if they couldn't sneak off with their uncle or older brother's instruments, they would, you know, study them and learn and figure out really creative ways to make their own instruments based off of real proper instruments and, you know, finding a box here and pulling the wires off the screen door to create the fiddle parts and everything like that. You know, very crafty ways. I know there was one musician who always got in trouble for pulling the wire off the screen door.
Kind of made it not so mosquito-proof after a while.
Yeah.
Great music, but lots of mosquitoes. So there are actually accounts and records of kids making these boxes. And do some still exist today? Do we have samples of older cigar box?
Absolutely. Actually, we have Dr. Barry Ancelet has been very generous. He has two homemade instruments that he's going to bring tomorrow night to share with the audience. One of them is a cigar box fiddle that was made by Canray Fontenot. And that's just a very special piece. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Canray's legacy in Creole music is respected by one and all. And most everybody knows the name. And he made this cigar box fiddle for Barry. And so it's actually in the collection over at the Lafayette Science Museum. So they've been able to bring it out of their storage and bring it tomorrow night to share with the audience. And also he has a formica fiddle. And I don't know, I haven't seen it yet. I don't know much about it. Although he's made sure that Chris Segura will play some tunes on it for us.
On the formica fiddle.
Yeah, so we'll see how if it's a hard sound or.
I don't know, I can see an album coming out of that just called Formica
Fiddle. It sounds like a band name.
So you're talking about the material that people would cover their counters with.
Right. Yeah and I'm very intrigued by that instrument. But, the discussion will be led by our director, Dr. Michael Martin, and a close friend of his, Dan Adams. And both of them have built various instruments. Dr. Martin has built a diddly bow, and he's done at least two at home in preparation for tomorrow night. So he'll have those, and then Dan will have the cigar box fiddles and a few other various instruments that he's made. And then we'll have supplies. We have a modest amount of supplies, but you are welcome to go looking around your house out back and see what you can find that would fit the bill. Cigar boxes, wooden dowels, flat pieces of wood that can be cut down or that are fairly small, wire, mason jars, kind of just found objects around the house and in the backyard in your scrap heap if you happen to have one that you could possibly see being incorporated into an instrument.
Try to resist pulling the wires off the screen door,
please.
Though.
At least in my house, because that won't go over well.
So this particular presentation sounds like just a wonderful mix that we've come to expect from the Backyard series. An amazing part of our culture that we may not know much about. Experts, Dr. Barry Ancelet, Dr. Michael Martin, who is director of the Center for Louisiana Studies, and of course the audience. And you're always hoping that people will bring their own experiences, their memories. Maybe they had a grandparent, a relative who made one of these instruments.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm anticipating a lot of interesting instruments showing up tomorrow night. And I'm hopeful that we'll all learn something from one another. One of our coworkers, John Sharp, he has a washtub bass, and I think he's planning on bringing that. We don't have supplies for that, unfortunately. But if you do, we will help you construct it because we will have people on site who know how to build it. So if you have like a broom handle and a washtub, I'm sure we have the rest of the supplies that you would need and at least the expertise to get you well on your way to your own washtub base.
I, I'm imagining a performance after the workshop with all of the instruments, something to record and post. And I guess a lot of people are thinking, you know, what a nice idea to remind us all of that spirit, whether we call it Acadian spirit, the spirit that was here in South Louisiana, to make do and to create and be very creative about the things that we wanted.
Yeah, ingenuity is so pivotal in this area. It spawns so many industries and creative outlets and new inventions. But it all, you know, is all based on necessity and you know, what was available. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is definitely going to be played out tomorrow night. Oh, that was a pun.
I'm sure they're abounding up in CSET right now. Well, and also it reflects how much people loved music here, mm-hmm. too, that they were so desirous of having the means to make music, you know, whether they were going to use it for a dance, a house dance, or just their own personal pleasure to have something to play on the porch.
Well, and historically, I mean, they made music with what they had most readily available, their mouths and their bodies, and they would create percussive sounds off of the ground or their bodies or clapping their hands and things like that to accompany their singing until, you know, some of these more rudimentary instruments were either created or acquired. Or, you know, our people went out and or somebody handed down a fiddle that they had in the family or something like that. So it's really neat evolution that you can kind of witness. And then and now we're revisiting it because, you know, you can go out and buy a fiddle, but wouldn't it be fun to build your own?
Well, and I've seen quite a few really interesting artistic renditions of some of those older shapes and forms. What did they play those fiddles with? I kind of understand the construction. They just pluck them.
Yeah, for the
most part.
So
almost like a banjo or something.
Right, or they would make a homemade bow, you know, and Dan will be talking about that as well, as how to make the bow to go with the fiddle and what kind of things you could use for that.
That seems to be almost the more complicated part, that bow part that would create the sound.
Yeah, I don't have a musical background, so I'm, you know, I'm going into this very blindly, very curious to see exactly how it all works together. I know that we'll have the cigar box fiddle in particular, we'll have it in stages so you can understand how you actually have to shore up the inside of the cigar box and things like that and how it helps create different sounds. So it is a workshop. We will be actually constructing instruments, but it'll be a very, very extensive demonstration as well as a historical context and presentation on that. So
Really multi-platform presentation tomorrow evening. If you have just tuned in, my guest is Jennifer Ritter Guidry with the Center for Cultural and Ecotourism here at UL Lafayette and the Center for Louisiana Studies, talking about their backyard series that will take place tomorrow evening at Vermilionville. It's called Cigar Box Fiddles and Washtub Basses, a Homemade Instrument Workshop. And again, you are calling for people to come with their stories, their memories, maybe
pictures,
actual artifacts.
It would be great if people brought, you know, homemade instruments from home that they've had in their families and just shared that with the audience and really kind of give us all a better idea of how people actually created them, you know, in the flesh of need and desire and everything like that, not so much in a workshop setting where everything's kind of laid out for you. And you know, how these people, you know, puzzled it out. What am I going to do? How am I going to make the neck of this fiddle? And no, I don't like that sound. Maybe this material works better than this and things like that, you know? But again, you know, it's a family friendly event. It's free and open to the public. There will be food available so you can come out and have dinner and learn something and maybe, you know, go home with a finished product or a nearly finished product. And then you can play, you can start your own band.
That's right. A cigar box fiddle band.
Yeah.
That could become really popular around here.
I'm looking forward to that. I will go out every night if that happens.
As always, you post these on your website, I believe, the Center for Cultural and Ecotourism. How many of the Backyard Series programs do you have posted there now?
We have fully edited about only, even though we're concluding our fourth year, we only have about a year and a half's worth edited. And that's just because the process takes a long time. And we have done some in-house, and now we have enlisted assistance of someone who does video editing on a more regular, daily, professional level who can knock it out a lot quicker than we can. And then we always have it available through the archive, which would give you the raw footage and everything, not the edited down version. And they're also available through Acadiana Open Channel. They're screening them as content there and on YouTube as well. So there's lots of places to go and find the Backyard Series content. But we really love it when you guys come up and visit the office. And one thing leads to another, and you discover something that you didn't even know you were interested in.
So if you go up to your office, it's possible to view them there.
Oh, yeah.
To see them there.
Yeah.
And remind people where you're located.
We're up on the third floor of Dupre Library, right in the middle of UL campus. And we love visitors.
Mm-hmm. And so the Center for Louisiana Study encompasses CSET and CSET, the UL Press.
The UL Press, and then the Research Division, which houses all of the archives collections.
All right. And I know we had spoken early on when you all first started creating this series about how you really were hoping to make so much material that you have up there available to the public, that you had a small group of scholars for a while, but that it really seemed more appropriate to your mission to make it available to all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we are a very small office. We can only accommodate so many people. And so we are trying to create greater access to our collections as well as grow our collections. And so the Backyard Series serves both purposes. It allows us to add content into the archive as well as pull content out of the archive to share with a broader audience. So, you know, when we get kind of low on ideas or things like that, we'll start searching through the archive database and just, you know, random words, because the database is wonderful. All of the fields are searchable. You can do half of a word, you know,
and cigar
or, right. Or, you know, what was one that I did? I was looking up, well, I did bridge because we did a historic bridge inventory recently. And that comes up with everything that's, you know, all of the official bridge names, Bro Bridge, anything that had, you know, bridge in the background, possibly if it was an image. So it's very wide ranging, and it's a lot of fun to just kind of start going through, you know, if you want to look and see what all we have on 5-inch reel-to-reel tape, just to kind of get a snapshot in time of what was being recorded when that was the most prevalent medium available to record onto. Mm-hmm. You can do that, or you can, you know, search by an instrument or a person's name or a year or your hometown. It's very wide-ranging. Your favorite Cajun song title, you know, whatever you can think of, we probably can find a, you know, at least one item in the archive that'll relate to it.
So not only do you welcome scholars and researchers from institutions, but people from the community who might be interested in a topic.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, we welcome one and all. And we've had a lot more of those kinds of visitors lately, people who have heard, you know, slowly are beginning to hear about the archives and what we have in them, and finding things that they know about that they want to be able to contribute their knowledge to in the archives, which is really fun.
Mm. Well, again, if you are tuning in, we're talking about the Center for Cultural and Ecotourism, which is under the Center for Louisiana mm-hmm. Studies here on the UL Lafayette campus in Dupre Library. They have a monthly series called the Backyard Series, and if you went to nothing else, you could probably get a degree in folklore, especially if you've been going over the past few years that you've been having this. It's all was amazing to me, the topics that you all come up with.
Aww,
and it's always interesting.
Yeah.
So what's coming up in the next few months for the Backyard Series?
Oh, well, you know, December is always kind of our party month, I guess, mm-hmm. Where we move from the Performance Center into the cooking school. And we've got Barry Onsley and Chef Pat Mold joining us again this December. And I ran into Pat recently, and he told me that he'd made a deal with Barry, that Barry got to do the cooking this time, and he was going to do the talking.
Because you can't cook and talk at the same time?
I don't know. Well, that's not true. They've proved that, that you can do both very well, very effectively, and have a room full of very content people at the end of the night with mm-hmm. what they've cooked.
Well, maybe it's kind of like the person who gets to steer the car.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I think that's it, you know. Who's the navigator and who's the driver in this? And you know, it's going to be Creole turtle soup. They've already decided on what they're cooking, so that's out of the way. So now they're just talking, you know, and they're they're great storytellers, both of them. So I'm looking forward to what stories they have to share with us next month. And then in January, we're going to kick off the fifth year with The World of Boudin.
And right, which the UL Press just published a book on Boudin.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and the author, Dr. Bob Carricker, who's also the department head of the History, Geography, and Philosophy Department here at UL, he'll be joining us. He'll serve as a moderator, and we're going to get a couple different Boudin producers from around the Acadiana area to join us. I have one of them booked, but I don't want to give away too much. There will be samples of Boudin, of course, and there will be lots of discussion about who makes the best Boudin. So you want to come.
Just those two programs you've mentioned. You mentioned Creole Turtle Soup for the December and then Boudin for the January. You may have to take reservations for this backyard series.
we'll just get it. We'll get a bigger boat.
And I guess we should say all the programs are at Vermilionville. Yep. You mentioned that kind of moves around within Vermilionville.
Yep, sometimes we'll venture out further into the park and utilize the chapel or the schoolhouse or the cooking school. But our home base is really the Performance Center because it's just such a wonderful venue. It's large. It's got lots of seating. There's the drink station in the back. There's a stage for when we do the larger kind of music type events. And now they've just got a whole new projection system set up. So our PowerPoint presentations are going to look really amazing. I'm really excited to try that out tomorrow night.
All right. Well, again, that's tomorrow evening at Vermilionville. My guest, Jennifer Ritter-Guidry, is talking about the Backyard Series. The presentation tomorrow is Cigar Box Fiddles and Washtub Basses, a homemade instrument workshop. You can just go to listen. You don't have to make an instrument if you don't want to.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But certainly bring materials if you would like to try and make an instrument. And there are rumors that there could be a formica fiddle performance tomorrow.
Looking forward to that.
And then perhaps after the workshop, if people get some of their instruments done, a little group
jam session.
That's right, jamming on cigar box fiddles. Well, Jennifer, again, thanks so much for the creativity of this series and making this information available to us. It would be hard to know where we'd go to find out this information, even if we didn't know that we didn't know about it.
I think that's the greater fun part about the Backyard Series is sometimes you go to it not knowing you were really all that interested in the topic of the evening, and you come out having just absorbed so much and gotten excited about something that you maybe hadn't really thought about before or hadn't thought about in a long time or had heard once in passing at your grandparents' house. And it kind of brings it home and gets you re-energized about the culture and who you are as a person and how awesome this community is. So,
yeah. Our understanding of the culture is so much richer for this series.
Well, thank you.
Again, the Backyard Series, that's tomorrow night at Vermilionville, 6:30. All are invited. It's a free program. It's for the whole family. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thanks, Judith.